I'm Ben Williamson and you're listening to Ravens Weekly.
Following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley.
Hello everyone and welcome to episode 52 of Ravens Weekly, the official Bromley FC podcast, proudly sponsored by our friends at Bridge Bar in Beckenham. A big thank you to Graham Martin as usual for our wonderful soundtrack, probably the most enjoyable part of your listening to this podcast I imagine. As ever I'm joined by Matt.
Hello.
And Cookie.
You say that Jeff, but then you hear our dulcet tones.
Anyway, what have we got coming up on this week's show guys?
Coming up on this week's show, Jeff, we are going to review the Harrogate game.
We're also going to look at the spectacle against Bristol Rovers, or the spectacle that was Bristol Rovers.
We've got an interview with Mark Anthony Okoye.
We're going to hear from Neil Smith on that one as well.
Obviously, we've got Academy Team of the Week.
We've got a new signing, and we spoke to him, so we'll bring you that interview.
We preview Sutton.
And we're going to also look ahead to next week's games against Woking and then at home to Yeovil.
Cool, hell of a 10 days ahead.
Massive, really, really massive.
Easy bees.
But obviously, we're going to start with reviewing the past few weeks. Cool, yeah, I don't really know. I think I'm going to be treating this a bit like a therapy session, if I'm honest. So, obviously, we started with Harrogate on the Saturday. Never easy with these games are sandwiched between FA Cup fixtures, etc. Yeah, so it proved to be, Matt, a tough affair.
It was, and we knew that Harrogate were in good form when they came to us. I think they suffered one defeat in their past 10 or something along those lines. They started a lot better than us. In the first half, we weren't good enough, and Neil admitted that after the game. And we found ourselves 3-0 down, just getting one back on the stroke of half-time to make it 3-1, and that was so vital.
Could have been two, wasn't it? Yeah, sandwich strike in the crossbar.
But let's face it, the first goal and the third goal in particular were very, very avoidable.
Yeah, they was. I think the first one, there was a miscommunication between the defence and Ryan Hoddart, and just led the striker through on goal, just put it in the back of the net. And obviously the third goal, the ball's being played away from goal, and Hoddart's just gone in for a challenge and... obviously conceded a penalty.
I missed both of them. Sorry. So to recap.
Yes. So obviously Josh Rees with not the best back pass he'll ever play, and Hoddart raced out to get it, but unfortunately he was second to it, and Jack Emmett, I believe it was, just got the ball, rounded Hoddart and put it into an empty net basically. Second goal, Brendan Keenan, obviously ex-Bromley youth player, good finish.
Nice to see him again.
It is. He's a lovely guy. I had a great chat with him. But yeah, he scored the second goal and the third goal, like Cookie said, the penalty, just a bit unnecessary. But all the mistakes that were made in the first half, the players atoned for them in the second half. Josh Rees was great.
How important to get that goal back before?
It was
like
massive.
You say, because, I mean, it was like the atmosphere around the around the ground, around the place was like, what?
That's when it switched. That's
I can't
when
even
it switched.
Bother looking at social media at that point because some of the stuff that comes in.
No, honestly.
We got an email in at half time, didn't we?
We did get an email at half time.
Yeah. Pick that up Monday.
We won't read what it said, but.
We obviously can't check the phones or the emails during the game. I can't think of the name,
brilliant.
But he...
What did he say, roughly, without using the
profanities? No, he roughly said...
capitulate, this team is useless, how is it near the top of the table, we just capitulate. Like
yeah, and...
brilliant. And a goal before half-time?
Yes, just a minute before half-time. And then, obviously, in injury time, Sam Wood hit the crossbar and possibly could have done a little bit better, being ultra-critical.
As you always are.
That gave us ultra... what's the word? I just say it how it is.
It gave us confidence.
It did
we
give
on
us confidence.
Game
yeah.
At half-time that we
the momentum switched, didn't it?
Yeah, we had nearly got the second, and we started to gain possession. And then coming out of the second half, we picked up where we left off. Neil wasn't happy with the team, obviously at half-time. And they come out obviously continuing that form.
Only took us 3 minutes.
Well, dominated the second half. We can say, Matt.
Yeah, it only took us 3 minutes to
again,
get that
no,
second
they're
goal.
Goalkeeper.
Oh, unbelievable. Again, he's the reason that we didn't win that game. The team's performance in the second half
was... Tell me he lives down south somewhere.
Incredible. he somehow kept some of Chris Bush's, two or three free kicks out. He didn't have a chance with any of the goals, in fairness to him. He made a great save before the first goal, before half-time. And even the second goal, there were a couple of saves and a couple of blocks beforehand. But we were looking to win that game. Joe Kizzy missing a header from close range. He was another great performer, deserved a goal but couldn't finish. Michael Cheek hitting the bar at the end.
Yeah. It was very close.
It was almost like the comeback of all comebacks, and it was brilliant to come back from 3-0 down, but to actually deserve to win it is quite an achievement, and what a result it would have been if we'd have got that winner.
And another fantastic crowd out of the day, over 2,200.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant, wasn't it? You know, we were looking at some points before the game and thinking, well, you know, Harrogate, in fairness...
Yeah, because the funniest thing was the ticket sales. Watching the ticket sales for Bristol Rovers alongside Harrogate. You see Bristol Rovers like skyrocket. And you see the Harrogate's ones thinking, oh, come on, you know, surely and, people are going to buy at the same time, etc. But to be fair, Friday night, Saturday morning, as usual, just spiked. And I mean, over half of that paying crowd on Saturday did it online again. Amazing.
Incredible, isn't it?
It changed and stuff.
I mean, the opposition, Harrogate, fair play to all of the 81, I think it was, at travel, but it's not huge away support. And, you know, for that crowd to be, well, pretty much 2,100 Bromley fans is incredible, and a great show of where this club's going and where it's come from.
An absolute brilliant Saturday, like you say, Matt, just couldn't get it over line in the end. It kept us joint top of the table, second effectively by the goal difference from about two goals, I think, Matt. But to be fair, other than maybe a fourth goal, you probably couldn't have asked for a better atmosphere, better mood going into the FA Cup game on Tuesday, Matt.
No, momentum was great, wasn't it, in the second half? And that's what we hoped we would carry through. Just the level of performance in the second half, it was, again, the goalkeeper that was responsible for keeping us out. And, you would have hoped that would have gone into Tuesday. And unfortunately, moving on to Tuesday, it wasn't the start to the game that we wanted.
No, it took 3 minutes. Again, did we say... A slight error at the back.
Yeah, it is. It's giving the ball away.
That's just cost it. And it was who was it? Was it Chris Bush? Just in
it
the
was.
Back
who
there,
was?
Trying
who
to,
was fantastic?
Trying to keep it out.
No, that was Chris Bush gave the ball away. And apart from that, he had such a great game. Yeah, it was Sam Wood that was centimetres away from keeping it out of the net. It was the scruffiest goal you'll ever see.
Yeah.
And apart from that, really, Bristol Rovers didn't do
that
a lot.
That was all they had. I mean, let's face it. I think anyone was here at Hayes Lane on Tuesday night and watching it on the TV, Bromley did not look out of place against this League One opposition. And this League One team is a team that is, currently ninth in the table, a point away from promotion.
We spoke about it before in the last episode about when we played Peterborough last year and that being a sort of indicator of where we potentially were at as a football club against other, you know, opposition higher up in the football pyramid, etc. And... again on Tuesday, and I think their manager said it. I think over the two legs, you know, we were definitely the better side. Yeah. You know, which is an absolute testament to Neil Smith and the squad of players that are out there. You know, and the shifts that they've been putting in, and you know,
the goals they've had disallowed,
the injuries that haven't happened, etc. You know, somehow we've put a side out there on Tuesday night, which genuinely completely done us proud beyond anything. You know, one thing I will say, last few years, we've actually turned it round. But so often in the past, big games, big occasions, 3,000 crowds, a big occasion, we don't deliver,
and
they haven't turned up, or it's just not been a case. And we can all go back over FA Cup first round things. And as a side note, we're going to talk about the game, I know, but we on the Wednesday morning, we had our monthly management meeting. Obviously, Robin addressing everybody and all of us in the boardroom, you know, and he made a very valid point of the fact that we'd already won, you know, on that first leg, you know, getting that result there, you know, with 10 men for those last 20 minutes, etc. Actually, getting that result there, getting the replay, getting the live TV appearance, all of that. As a club, we'd already won, you know. But the day itself, I mean, it had absolutely everything. Operationally, a 7:45 kickoff. I mean, the queues were massive before the game. 7:45, two, three people left outside just on their way in. It was brilliant. The leaning tower, I mean, the toilet block in the corner of the ground.
We know what you call
it. Stood the test of time. However, it is breaking. Are we allowed to break the news yet?
I think
no, I don't
want to
break the news
because
it doesn't always happen. It doesn't always happen otherwise.
People might get a bit upset.
And it'll probably
still
be there. We're going to say all this and it won't happen. But it's been replaced, Cookie. Yeah.
We've got a new sign in at Bromley.
No. New signing.
It is a toilet block.
It's like the end of an era.
Toilet block B.
Well, that core. Well, guys, on the podcast, using the hashtag Ravens Weekly, what's the game that has helped that toilet block? I'm trying to get my words out. But
The amount of people on Twitter.
Well, you're welling up.
What did someone say? We condemned traps A and B, didn't we, I think? Yeah. And so basically new toilet blocks.
What's your memories of the toilet block?
Someone said to me today, you'll never be able to tell me that Bromley are progressing off the field until they replace the toilet block. So hopefully that's going to come before Yeovil, just to keep fans up to date as always on that. The actual game itself, Matt, like we say, that was the early setback. But for the whole game, what an effort.
And what a crowd as well. The atmosphere was absolutely phenomenal. I think it was one point when Cheek got fouled in the first half, and the noise from the Glenbeverley stand was like you were at a packed out League 2, League 1 ground. It was incredible.
Come through on Twitter that someone said they could hear it over there. I'm a celebrity down the road.
Someone tweeted in.
They could hear it over I'm a celebrity.
Well, she's absolutely brilliant.
And this is where Bromley's going, let's face it.
Yeah. Look, and there's been a few comments, but the club are fully aware of the investment it needs to make in the facilities moving forward. You know, simple things, toilets, etc. You know, we know that, and you only have to look at the south stand and the 3G pitch. Everything that's happened in a time, you know, trying to keep up and trying to keep on progressing. And the club are fully aware of that, and appreciate everybody for reminding us of the extra need and everything. I must admit, I was trying to work out where in the building I might be able to find the toilet that isn't in use, and I couldn't even find one during the game. But so a big thanks to all those who put up with any slight inconveniences on the day. And I know there was an issue as well with the south stand as well, which is currently being addressed by the contractors of that stand as well. That didn't please us whatsoever. And again, apologies for any inconvenience to everybody there. But a massive thank you to everyone who played their part in a fantastic atmosphere, like Matt says. Looking around the ground, and all you could see was people's heads. You couldn't see terrace. You couldn't see seated or anything. It was just a sea of bodies.
Packed in like sardines. Yeah. There was no more space.
And you couldn't have asked, you could have asked for any more from those off the field and to those on the field. You know, it was absolutely, what an occasion for the club. Yeah. And you know, people laugh about the Dagenham game live on telly and some of the comments we were getting about Bromley and how they're top of the league and all that sort of nonsense. But yeah. I can't believe any true football fan that watched that on Tuesday and couldn't think we were unlucky. Yeah. And I tell you what, shout out to the BT camera crew, cut the offside fantastically well. I mean, they picked up the offside and then they cut to the linesman, who, let's get it right, was laughing. It was absolutely...
Yeah. Oh, the offside in inverted laughing. Commas, yeah.
The problem is, what the camera, some people didn't see was the fact that Cheek had just indicated to the linesman, he did the old VAR signal like that. And to be fair to the linesman, that's why I was laughing. But oh my gosh, when I saw it, I was always going to throw something at the screen. Yeah. I thought, what are you laughing at? I mean, it's a terrible... It's an absolute... I mean, you see it in replays, two players keeping him onside. You come to this level and we've still got to submit the referee's report, but you cannot. When you expect the level of officiating to be substantially improved on what you're used to week in, week out for such an occasion, that was pathetic.
Well, I mean, you go on forums and you go on not just us, but like the National League forums on Facebook, etc., and you just see people saying the standard refereeing in our league in general. And I think what it does show is Bromley gave a fantastic account of herself on the night, live on TV. There was goals that were taken away from us.
Talking about officials live on telly, I always bang because it just comes into my head, sorry. But Sutton, what about when we were on live on telly against Sutton that time? At Gander Green Lane.
And
the referee.
Brandon Allen. And not only that, but in that game, the keeper took down George, didn't he? One on one for the penalty. And did he even get a booking? It's a straight red. And, you know, those
were the two. Yeah, he got a booking, I remember it.
It was a straight red. And then
down George Porter, didn't he?
We think that this Cheek offside is bad. That Brandon Handler one was even further back. Like anyway.
But yeah, I mean, look, it was a fantastic night. Obviously, a statement went out the other day regarding the flair as well.
Just a shout on that one. A group of individuals have been sort of identified. However, if there are people who've got further information, please do get in touch confidentially. You know, leave a voicemail, send an email address from an unknown email. Whatever, we'll treat it in the utmost confidence. But I think, as the statement made clear, you know, that's just not tolerated. That's not what we're here for. You don't spend over £500,000 investing in a 3G facility for the use of the community, young and old, and on such a special occasion for that to be one of your, I'm going to say supporter, but it's very hard to say that given the fact you'd cause criminal damage to your own club. But you know that was a real dampener on the night in general. And you know, I'm sure any honest real fan who is aware of who it is will be in touch shortly.
I know
it'd be greatly appreciated. But
it's a fantastic work from Blake Down that come along on Thursday morning, carried out the repair. And the pitch
there's a substantial bill for that.
Yeah,
you know,
very expensive. So there is zero tolerance on that. And like Jeff said, we we have got the footage that should have been passed to the police. And it's now where, obviously, the investigation is continuing.
But like we say, sour events there. But overall, an absolutely fantastic day for the football club. And, you know, that crowd, that's where we're going. That's where you want to get to. We're at over 2,000 now is our average. And, you know, I know we're going to talk about it later, but Yeovil up next. I mean, that's going to be a bit of a grudge game. You know, all the events that happen down there and Cousins and everybody like that, that's going to be, that's definitely going to be a game.
It is, isn't it? And not only that, but it is a top of the table clash. Both sides doing really well in the league this year, and it should be a good game of football above anything else. But obviously, like you say, there is some feeling definitely left over from the last game, and it doesn't help that it was 2 months ago, Jeff, almost 2 months ago to the date when we're going to play them for the
Amazing
second
how
time.
Quick it's come round.
And same with Woking, obviously, which we'll go on to. In
yeah,
a second.
Definitely. Apologies, one thing we haven't done justice to is manager Neil Smith. Fantastic. Like I say, the team, the injuries, everything he's had to deal with, him and his men put an absolute fantastic display out on Tuesday. And it's only right we get to hear from him. And here's what he had to say after the game.
Neil, an almighty effort in the end, but unfortunately just not enough.
Yeah, just not enough. Decisions went against us. Gifted him a goal, like we did on Saturday, early on. Boys again showed that spirit that they've got in that dressing room, which is amazing. And then we think we scored a goal. I've seen it on telly. It is a goal. He's an offside. And you just think that's when sometimes in the FA Cup you need that bit of luck.
And it was two knockbacks, obviously, in the first half, starting off, like you say, gifting them a goal, and then another knockback in a wrong decision. But the players just seem to still believe in
carrying. So we went in there at half time and just said, do the same. We kept the ball well. We created chances. There were balls flashing across their box. They were on the back foot. We just needed someone to just go and, you know, get on the end of it and put it in the back of the net. I thought Rico had a couple of chances, just flashed across, and you know, on another day he scores a couple of goals. But wasn't to be. But I'd like to say thank you to the supporters that turned up in their thousands. You know, I think they saw a team, and I thought they saw a club and a bunch of players that want to do well for this club. They never give up. They gave everything. The supporters were amazing, and I just wish they could come back every week, because I think that gives us that extra edge on it.
That noise was quite something. It was
amazing. It was amazing, and I think we gave them something to cheer about, which was brilliant. And we just wanted to give them a goal, and then you do give them a goal, and the referee, you know, finds something, you know, not give it to you. But as I say, I think they've gone away knowing that there's a team here that's ready to put themselves on the line for this club,
despite numerous injuries. We've taken a League One side on two occasions and arguably shaded the game.
Yeah, I believe so. Look, they're very humble, and they said how well we played and probably deserved more, but the niceties of it, that, you know, they're very polite. But I genuinely believe we should have. I thought in the first game, I thought we had chances going down to 10 men and coming back with a draw. But, you know, at the end of the day, the club's had a fantastic evening. I think they've seen, you know, the supporters had a great night. There was something to cheer about, you know, let alone the fire on the pitch. But, we go back to the drawing board. League on Saturday, and we've got to get back to winning ways in that, because we want to stay in that fighting pack at the top of the league and make sure we can take this season right to the end.
And that's a local derby away to Sutton, always an interesting game.
Yeah, they always are, Gander Green. You know, they picked up a couple of results as well, so it's going to be difficult, but you know, make sure I've got a full squad to pick from, and we'll give it our best shot.
We are now obviously aware that we will be playing Yeovil in a top of the table clash here on the 30th of November.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Look, either way, we were going to be at home. We'd love to for it to have been an FA Cup game, but it isn't. That was always a bonus game, but it's back to the bread and butter. And again, Yeovil, you know, where we lost Mark Cousins and, you know, and all the goals and everything else. So it'll be a good one, but something first.
Neil, an almighty effort. Congratulations.
Cheers.
Pleasure as always to hear from Neil Smith there. And so, yeah, you go away. You come back to work on the Wednesday. We have our usual monthly management meeting with Robin. Obviously celebrating what a fantastic occasion the day was, etc. And you look to get all the week and look at the positives. And then, unfortunately, you're made aware of some quite devastating news.
Yeah, it's really, really hit everybody here very hard, both in terms of the players, the coaches and everybody behind the scenes. And I know the fans very much as well. We received the devastating news that at the age of 27, Marc-Anthony Okoye has been forced to retire from the game, which for him to be able to digest that and conduct himself in the way he has the past few days has been a testament to the man and the gentleman that he is, not only a leader and a warrior on the pitch, but a real, real gentleman and a very caring human being. And for him to have played with this injury or an injury that has impacted it for so many years at such a good standard, it's just gutting for him to have his career cut short. But we carry away many, many memories with us.
It's really hard to sound like the poor bloke's not died, but everyone's so actually caught up in the emotion of this, and even, you know, Gel's got you know, we all laugh and joke about him being his son and stuff, and he's, you know, he's got a massive feeling towards all of it, etc. And you know, the fact that he's 20, how old is that?
27.
You know, if it's a central defender, that's pretty much, you know, heading towards peak of your career. Yeah. You're not, and yeah, I mean, it was his, without going into too much detail, I think it was his knee.
Yeah.
His knee, and he's got a young daughter, isn't he? And, you know, he's telling me things about the fact that after some games, he was finding it hard to walk downstairs and pick up his daughter and stuff. And, you know, when you're hearing things like that and you're talking about perspective and football's only a game and all of those sorts of things, yeah, really, really devastating.
It hits harder because the Mark is just the nicest bloke you could ever meet. My God, I haven't met many nicer people ever in my life. The bloke is a gentleman. He will always come and chat to you, and so positive when you speak to him after.
That's the biggest thing I think about him. Nicest guy is one, but the most vision driven. He'll be okay. You know, when you just know when you're talking to someone that he's got his head screwed on. He knows the bigger picture, his bigger path in life and stuff. And if you ever really have a sit down and have a proper conversation with him, you'll pick that up pretty much immediately. But yeah, nevertheless, there's tons of messages coming, and it'd be a whole hour long, this podcast, if you read out all of them that are coming via social media. But big thank you to all of those who have taken the time out to put a message, because I know Mark's been reading through all of them and been receiving them, and I know it means a hell of a lot to him. So yeah, just what a state of a, like, roller coaster of a week.
Oh,
you know, and then after that, obviously, as is the fast-flying pace of football, we then end up with an incoming player as well. But before we get on to that, obviously, Matt, you had, I can't say pleasure, you were able to speak with him this week, and he was very kind enough to share some words with us.
Marc-Anthony Okoye, it's not the interview we wanted to be doing. Unfortunately, your time in football has come to an end sooner than everyone would have hoped.
Yeah, it's been a very difficult past month or so, seeing various specialists and getting various opinions on my knee. But yeah, unfortunately, the decision has come to that. It's best for me to stop playing at this current moment in time, yeah.
And it's an injury that you suffered as a youngster, isn't it, that has carried on and the remnants are still there?
I broke my tibia playing for Bromley when I was, I think, 14, 15. And it's hard to say right now whether it's simply just because of that or things over the space of time, but originally it is based off from my left knee. I just think as time's gone on, it hasn't really got as good as it should be or made the recovery that I should have. Yeah, it is what it is right now, mate.
Well, obviously, you are a Bromley boy, and you have been for a long, long time. Have you got a message to the fans that have been there the whole time?
I'm so honoured and grateful. All the support that I've received from signing back here last summer has been amazing. The way the fans have been with me is amazing. I'm just truly grateful, and I just hope that they can just continue to do the same for everyone else who walks through the door at Bromley Football Club.
And to Neil and to your fellow players as well.
Massive thanks to Neil to start with. Obviously signing last summer, played a few positions, and I think I earned my respect from the gaffer. I think, and he repaid me and trusted me in massive games. The boys as well have taken to me from day one, respected me as a man and as a player as well, and it's mutual. I'm just grateful for everybody at the football club.
And I know the question on a lot of people's lips will be, what is next for Mark Anthony? Do you have an idea?
I've got an idea, but I think for now I'm just going to go away and assess what I need to before I decide where I want to divert my energy into.
And are you going to be coming back down to support the boys and to see the fans as well?
Yeah, 100%. As I said, I've been a part of this. Well, I feel like I've been a part of this club from joining Bromley when I was maybe 10, 11. So that's over 15, 16 years. So they'll always hold a place in my heart. And yeah, I'll definitely be back to support the boys and hopefully be there when we win the league as well.
And yeah, you have played a massive part last season and this season as well. And I guess you just hope that the boys can carry on the good form and achieve it for you and for the other players that we've lost to injury.
No, definitely. I think you know, it's easy to say do it for Mark, but I think just for ourselves, bunch of boys that we've got, and even from last year, we owe it to ourselves to just be victorious in whatever we're going to do. So again, I'm just grateful to have been a part and hopefully played a part in where we are and where we'll end up at the end of the season.
Well, Mark, it's been a pleasure to work with you and to see you on a daily basis, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.
Thank you, Matt. Appreciate you. Thank you.
Neil, so we've received the incredibly sad news that Mark Anthony Okoye is retiring from professional football. What's your reaction?
Yeah, I'm really disappointed and upset for Mark. I thought, especially the start of the season, once he got in, he was keeping Jack Holland out and he was playing immense. It was a tower of strength for us, you know, took over the captaincy. You know, we had that great run as well. So when he came in saying his knee was sore and went and saw a specialist and obviously gave him the sad, sad news, you know, we were all really sad for him. I thought he was going to play a big future in this club. Local boy, come back, as I say, played extremely well, but unfortunately the sad news. You know, we've got to be there to support him, and we will do as men and as a club, but you know, our thoughts go with Mark, and hopefully the future is bright for him outside of football.
And this is somebody who's been involved with the club since what, under nines?
Yeah, that's right. He's, you know, played for us at youth level, obviously went away, and then had a great season with Braintree, leading them to promotion, being the captain, and it was a great signing for us. And as I say, I only saw bright things having him here, you know, not just in his size but in his mental approach as well, and in the change room he was fantastic. So he will be a major loss, and so early on in the season as well, to lose such a vital member of my staff and players, you know, there is a disappointment.
And you mentioned there his importance in the dressing room, what a nice man he is, and a leader and a warrior on the pitch, but a gentleman off it.
Yeah, and no, he's only ever said good things about this club, and you know, and he'll always be welcome here with open arms. As I say, you know, once we tell the players, I know there's going to be an upset changing room, but they'll also want to try and do the best they can this season for Mark, because he was a part of it, and you know, if we are successful, he was very much a part of that as well.
Neil, thank you.
Thank you.
Big thank you to both Mark and Neil for giving us our time on that one. I'm sure that's not going to be the last we're going to see of Mark, Matt. And I know we're all going to be following his journey very closely.
Absolutely, yeah. And he said he's going to come down and support the team. And I'm sure everybody will be delighted to catch up with him when he does.
People have spoke about, you know, being an ambassador and all those sorts of things. He's definitely still got his part to play.
Like, definitely, yeah.
I'm sure he'd be a fantastic mentor for some of our younger players and something coming through. And talking about that, Matt, we're going to move on to the academy. Mark Hammond, Tom Bowman, Sue Whitaker, all the team at academy, having another fantastic year. It's great to see it coming on leaps and bounds. With every month that seems to go by, Matt. And one of the new features, which I'm thoroughly enjoying, is the Team of the Week.
It is, sponsored by Skill Crown and Life Lab and Go Travel. The boss of the week is Tony Brown, so congratulations to him. And the player of the week, Sid Bullitt, equally congratulations to him as well.
Tony Brown got his new Willie out yet? Has anyone
no,
come in?
He didn't come
no,
in.
He said he was going to come in.
No, no, Brownie was still waiting on your Willie hat, mate. Anyway, the
you
Team of the Week
deposit, I told you.
Was Javin Carpenter, the goalkeeper, Camille Alina, Harry Poynting, Tom Ralph, Ollie Farmer, John Adebiyi, Danny Taylor, Rob Hayes, Yanis Nduba, Paris Jackson and Mia Lockett. So congratulations to all of those.
Fantastic. It's great seeing them going up on social media. It's quite funny because you always see the boys, if he's up late at any point, you can see them all chasing. You usually get like a direct message on Instagram or something like that. So it's clearly empowering those individuals to get into that team of the week, which is great to hear. What's what we got next, Matt?
So we're now going to move on to the incoming player that we've had this week, Ben Williamson.
Gosh, yes.
He's back.
Of course. Yeah, pre-season, wasn't it?
Yeah, pre-season 2017, the FA Trophy season. First time we had the 3G pitch. He was with us
Palace,
that pre-season.
Wasn't it?
It was. He scored, yeah.
Scored against Palace on Saturday and was gone by the Monday.
Scored against Palace on the Saturday at Hayes Lane. Returned to Hayes Lane next Saturday with Eastleigh.
Jeez.
And I do remember the
phone
call.
That's how quick, isn't it? I mean, this week anyway is a massive example of how quick football moves.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
That was another example.
Honestly, the half of it. Obviously then he did ring Neil and just apologise. And obviously the money Eastleigh had at the time was a fair bit, shall we say. And he had a young family to provide for. So the reasons were that. However, they've kept in constant contact over the years and... he's finally back. We finally got our man. So Neil's obviously understandably delighted. But it was great to see Ben back. He's fitted right into the
amazing
group.
Time considering all of the you know, sort of the injury setbacks.
Yes, that's right.
Changes score we've got going on at the moment.
Even so, Jeff, I think number 10 is a position that we've lacked a bit, obviously, since losing George this season. We've lacked somebody to fill that position. And Ben Williamson will do just that, hopefully.
And apologies, there's obviously a bit of confusion on George, etc. And just very briefly to clarify without hanging on anymore, obviously, he had his contract terminated at the time when obviously the FA ban was imposed. Obviously, the fact that he couldn't play for 12 months and his ban lasts through to August, isn't it? Which obviously would have been beyond his current contract. So, obviously, that ceased to continue. Just quick clarification. Yes. I saw a few posts on social.
We have, yeah, we've had a few. He's an experienced player. He's 30 years of age and he's played for numerous clubs in the Football League and obviously spent the last three seasons or two and a half seasons with Eastleigh in the National League. So he's a player that knows this division.
It's going to be very interesting to see if he goes straight in, Matt. With everything,
yeah, it will
you know,
be.
The squad and the ins and outs, etc.
Well, I think if you look at Cheek, he wins 99% of his flick-ons and just the whole season there's been no one to run
half the time he's been chasing his own ones, hasn't
exactly
he?
Yeah, there's been no one to get in behind the defence and exploit that we've
and
got.
And that's because we've not had the natural number 10.
No, we haven't had one.
Who's been sort of, I'm trying to think, Mekhi's been flitting in
and
out of there.
Josh Reese and, you know,
put in there occasionally.
They're both brilliant players, but that's not their position.
No,
they are very good in the positions that they're meant to play in. So we've definitely... found someone who can occupy that position and let's hope now that he does a good job for us.
Fantastic. And you had the pleasure, Matt, of catching up with both Ben himself on his first date and also manager Neil Smith for his sports.
Ben Williamson, welcome to Bromley Football Club, or should I say welcome back?
Yeah, welcome back. Obviously, I had a little stint a couple of years ago now, so I've been in touch with the gaffer, to be funny enough, through the past few years, so obviously it was nice to finally come here.
And you seem really, really pleased to be here. Obviously know a few of the boys already as well.
Yeah, I'm delighted, you know. Obviously, as I say, I've been speaking to the gaffer for a few years now, and it's never really got over the line, but now it finally has. So yeah, I'm delighted, and obviously I do know some of the boys, so that does help when you come in on your first day, so it's nice. Yeah,
and Neil's just been talking about the importance that you're going to play now in our run in towards the end of the season. It's been a bit of a frustrating season for you so far, hasn't it? But hopefully that's in the past now.
Yeah, exactly that. You know, obviously you come here, you just want to get in the team first and foremost. And obviously the boys are doing well at the moment. You know, they're flying, they're top of the league. So obviously I hope to come in and play games and obviously help the team out.
You're obviously really important in getting Eastleigh into the playoffs last year. Hopefully a similar thing with us, if not more.
Yeah, exactly that. You know, it was a good season last year. I enjoyed it. And it was just a buzz, like every game getting into the playoffs. And it was just brilliant. And so hopefully we can do that here. And it was, and feel that if I go to the final or win promotion straight.
For those who maybe didn't see you play in your short stint here previously, how would you describe yourself as a player?
I like to get in behind defences, obviously playing off Cheeky or whoever it is up front, obviously playing together and then getting in behind, holding the ball up, bringing others into play. You know, I think I try to work hard for the team, and then obviously you want to score as many goals as you can as a striker, so hopefully I can do that.
And subject to the necessary approvals, straight into action away to Sutton on Saturday. Looking forward to it?
Yeah, obviously it's good to get going straight away. You know, you come into a game, you come into a new place, you just want to get your first game in. Obviously, hopefully we can go there and get the 3 points. You know, it'll be tough, but any away game's tough in this league, but hopefully we can do it.
Well, Ben, it's been great to see you. Great to have you back. Welcome back.
Cheers, mate. Thank you very much.
Neil, so you've added to your attacking options with the signing of a player you know very well, Ben Williamson.
Yeah, no, it's a funny situation. You know, we didn't think anything was coming. You know, I just inquired about Ben. He's a position we've been looking for a little while, and you know, looking for an experienced one as well to come in. And Ben come out of the blue, really. But he's always someone we've kept in contact with. We spoke to him in the summer. Couldn't do anything then for obvious reasons, having the signings that we had. And 2 years ago, obviously, we had him down here for trials, went to sign him, and he scored a goal against Crystal Palace and easily come over the top of us. So he's always someone that we've always regarded as a good player. Obviously just missed out in the playoffs last year with Eastleigh, so he comes with that experience as well. So I think it's a fantastic signing for us, and hopefully for him as well.
Great to see Neil get the man he's wanted. Obviously fantastic to see the board obviously backing Neil on the team, etc. as well in recent difficult times, etc. in terms of injuries and everything. So hopefully he's going to play his part on Saturday, Matt.
Absolutely, yeah, and like I say, he brings the experience that I think we need to this team. And yeah, very best of luck to him. He's obviously a nice guy, and he's great to have around.
And talking of Saturday, Matt, we have a little run of three games, don't we? Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday.
We do. Yeah.
Two of them away from home. Not thoroughly enjoyable away trips, if I'm honest.
No, obviously the first one is a little local derby away to Sutton United. They're currently in 20th place in the National League. I've had a bit of a difficult season so far.
It's
they're
sad,
on,
isn't it?
Yeah, minus six goal difference, 19 points.
He had the cheek. Their six here at the cheek. I should share. I'm going to share this. I had a phone call to request a scout ticket, a freebie scout ticket for the FA Cup game. From their secretary. After everything.
Somebody else there rang me as well, so that was interesting. They didn't take
I said no, and no. They tried it on. They carried on with other people.
Tried to ask me, yeah. Anyway, they are, yeah, like I say, 21st
I said.
Currently, and hopefully it will stay that way. They did, however, win their last game away to Torquay United, which is an impressive result against a side who are in great form at the minute, away from home. David Adjaboy and Harry Buterman with the goals for Sutton. Previous to that, their record wasn't great. They had defeats to Barrow, defeats to Halifax, and like I say, hadn't really won many games this season at all. So let's hope that carries on tomorrow.
A recent run of form there?
We lost there last year 1-0, and the season before that we won 3-0. So yeah, it's a bit of a topsy-turvy ground for us. We sometimes turn up, play out of our skin and get a result. Other times we haven't really turned up at all there. So hopefully...
And obviously their manager went and he took players with them.
Yeah, he
money
did.
Yeah, he sort of...
Their budget's definitely been cut.
Yeah.
He was a massive benefactor, yeah, of their playing budget, and that has obviously reduced.
That's Doswell. Where's he? Is it Havant now?
Havant, yeah.
They're doing all right,
now. Yeah, they're doing okay. They're not walking the league like everyone expected them to, but they're doing okay. Couple of players to watch out for. Nobody will need reminding. Omar Bagil now plays for Sutton and could well feature tomorrow. The two men I've gone to watch out for, David Adjaboy, who's a very, 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 very quick winger / forward, scored a great goal against Torquay last week, and has got, like I say, pace to burn, very skillful. And Harry Buterman, who's their top scorer, I think he's on about 7 goals at the minute, so he's in good form as well. So it's by no means going to be an easy game. It never is, regardless of where the teams are in the table. So looking forward to what I hope is a good local derby and a positive result for Bromley.
I'm sure there'll be a number of Bromley fans making that journey, making noise behind the goal, which would be great to hear. Tickets are cheaper in advance, Matt. I think
they're available till midnight tonight, yeah, online.
Okay,
so this is Friday.
Apologies if you listen on Saturday morning.
There are a couple of quid cheaper online, yeah. Go to our website and it will redirect you there.
And after that, Matt, we are off to Woking on Tuesday night.
We are off to Woking, and conversely, Woking have had a great start to the season, dropped off a little bit recently, but obviously when we played them back here in September, it was the top of the table clash at the time.
Well, we did, didn't we?
We did, yeah. We beat them 1-0, Michael Cheek with a goal sort of towards half-time, and a great crowd on a Tuesday night for that one as well, 2,400, I believe.
Fantastic.
Which is incredible, and good away support as well, to be fair to Woking. Like I say, they've tailed off a little bit recently. They're now in eighth. Obviously, this is before their game at the weekend is played on 32 points.
Be bitter there on a Tuesday night.
It is. That's definitely for sure. So they're currently 5 points below us. So really, Jeff, you're looking at the top of the table where us and Barrow are on 37. You go right down to 12th, Dagenham. There's 7 points separating the teams. It's incredible, really. So let's hope that we can get a couple of good results this week, get ourselves back on track, because next week's visit of Yeovil is going to be a huge game.
Incredibly so tough test.
We need good preparation and good form going into it.
And that game, that's Saturday the 30th.
Yeah.
Bromley versus Yeovil Town. As usual, tickets are on sale on the website now. They're obviously cheaper in advance. www.bromleyfc.co.uk. It'll be fantastic to capitalise on the fantastic crowd we had, obviously, for Bristol Rovers. And it'll be fantastic to see as many faces down again on Saturday. As I know the boys, no matter what happens in the next two games, we'll definitely need your support on that Saturday.
Can I just say, a random one to interject, but ever since that Bristol Rovers game, the online club shop has been going crazy. So we're getting orders from all over the place. I think with someone
else.
And
yes, we know we need more stock in there, by the
way.
Yes,
we do.
We've got to deal with that.
We've had orders from Ireland, Oldham, Devon, all over the place since Tuesday, which is bizarre. So thank you to everyone who's buying from us, and
Tony Brown from the academy, he's going to have to get his ordering.
Well, if he doesn't hurry up, he's going to miss out. You snooze, you lose.
They're going
really quick.
As well. I've got that new scarf here as well.
Yeah, so anyone who's pre-ordered the scarves, they have arrived with us today, so we'll be shipping them out.
Because I can only see one at the moment.
Oh,
I'll have to double check that.
I thought I was told earlier that they'd all arrived.
I might have to edit this out afterwards. I'm not sure. I've got one here.
Maybe.
I've got to wear it tomorrow, I think.
There's one here. So, that's Jeff. So if you have all of it, you're going to have to wait.
Well, Cookie will nick it by the time in the morning. Where is Cookie anyway?
Well, he disappeared saying he'd be back in a minute. And
I thought he went to get a tin of biscuits.
Back. Well, probably on the beers already, isn't he?
One busy week, another busy week ahead. Have we
fans
covered
question,
everything?
Fans,
oh, fans questions.
Question.
It's so
we
busy.
Need more responses.
No, it's so busy. We've only asked it once on the podcast. We didn't follow it up on social media and make other people aware, so that's our fault.
Our
question last week was?
One hit or one game wonders. That doesn't necessarily mean they played one game. It could be
it's
two,
sort of
three,
one
four.
With an asterisk, isn't it?
Yeah. So, players that didn't last very long and then just sort of...
Steve Pinnell is the one that everyone comes out
I
with.
I love
moment,
Steve
isn't it?
Pinnell. I think he's achieved legendary
and
status here.
And Michael Ingo. Michael Carroll's got his shirt, brilliant.
Yes,
all
that
social
good,
media.
Yeah. We won't want to give out too many answers.
Cook's got one. You say Cookie's got his shirt?
No.
Oh, Michael.
Well, if he does, I don't know about it. Let's have yours. Let's see. There's some interesting ones. I'm sure some of the longer-serving fans will have some really interesting ones as well. So look forward to seeing some answers to those.
Definitely. As usual, you can get in touch via Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, hashtag Ravens Weekly. And also you can drop us an email, podcast@bromleyfc.co.uk. Matt, I'm sure we've probably forgotten something, but I think that's about it.
Yeah, I think so.
Fantastic. As ever, a big thank you, Matt.
Thank you.
Cookie, wherever you are.
Thanks on
his
behalf.
And a big thank you to everybody who continues to part with us. You can please subscribe. Apparently people have to subscribe. I've just learned this out. On whether it's iTunes or Spotify.
Just do it on everything.
They need to press the subscribe
button.
Subscribe
on everything.
To get a little notification every time we finally get this out late on a Friday when it should be coming out on a Thursday. And they can also rate us, Matt. They can give us a star rating, a bit like TripAdvisor, 1 out of 5 or 2 out of 5 or 3 out of 5. Mm. 5 being the preferred option.
Yes, obviously, yeah. And just subscribe on everything, everything. Get an account everywhere.
Okay, big thank you, everyone. Safe travels to everybody heading to Sutton tomorrow. We'll see you there. Are we commentating?
We are. It's you and I, yes.
For those of you not making the trip, head over to bromleyfc.co.uk where we'll be providing live commentary. As always, a
if
big thank you to everybody
us,
who always
yep.
keeps us in touch and communicates over on mixer.com. It's greatly appreciated. We'll obviously also have live commentary from Woking on Tuesday night. That's going to be a freezing
it's going
cold
to be free.
One.
It always
I don't
is
like
there
their press box
on
week.
A Tuesday night.
And then obviously
why.
Most importantly, Saturday the 30th at home to Yeovil. We owe them one. We all know that. It'd be great to get as many fans down as possible and really back the boys on that one.
Definitely.
I know that. I mean a lot to everybody and I'm sure we'd want to go and get 3 points. And if not for, only for ourselves, but even for Mark Cousins here. That'd be fantastic.
Definitely.
So really looking forward to that one. A big thank you once again to everybody tuning in and we'll be back again next week.
See you then. You could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for